Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Our contact information before going to our callers on the web, equip.org via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First up today, Douglas, he's listening in Alberta, Canada. Hi, Douglas.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm just wondering, like, I've studied this quite a while now, and clearly states that Saturday is the Sabbath, not Sunday. Sunday was the Lord's Day, but Saturday is the Sabbath. I'm just still wondering why, after all this time, people are still insisting Sunday is worship day.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that people are still wondering about that when you think about the early Christian church and its recognition that the most dangerous snare was a failure to recognize that Jesus is the substance that fulfills the symbol of the Sabbath. I mean, this is tantamount to asking the question, why are we not sacrificing animals? And the writer of Hebrews answers that question by pointing out that to do so would be tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. Temple, priest, and sacrifice are a type that has been intensified, heightened, and ultimately fulfilled in the antitype, Jesus Christ. And so it is with the day of rest. In Christ, we find we have our Sabbath rest, and so we are celebrating now the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but remember that the emphasis for the Sabbath changes from the days of creation to the exile, ultimately to the rest we have in Jesus Christ. And if we cannot worship on the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection, pray tell, what can we celebrate? Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Charles, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Charles.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
My question is, why do you think people are falling for this seductive brand of New Thought metaphysics where they're talking about, you know, if you speak something into existence, it'll happen? This whole secret propaganda that you hear about all the time, and they got a book out called The Secret. Why do you think people are falling for this at such a high rate?
Yeah, I think we live in a biblically illiterate culture, and as a result of that, you fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. Satan never presents error in its naked deformity. If he did, no one would buy into it. And so it's always a seductive voice. And, you know, you think about New Thought metaphysical practitioners, they say that everything in the universe is at your disposal. All you have to do is attract whatever you want by your thoughts. And now Christianity comes along and papers it over with biblical words, and under the guise of biblical teaching, presents word of faith. Now, certainly, words are important, and faith is important, but the problem is both have been redefined. And so now the word of faith is little more than New Thought metaphysics lightly papered over with Christian terminology and rhetoric. And of course, the de facto high priest of this new way of thinking is Joel Osteen. And quite frankly, after reading his bestsellers, I decided to write a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. Because whatever Rhonda Byrne did in The Secret, Joel Osteen doubles in his books, doubles in the sense of scripture twisting. And it is an abomination and unfortunately goes unpressed. In fact, his platform continues to grow. He's become a mega voice of Christianity. He's on all the talk shows. His books are runaway bestsellers. He's heard all over the world. And again, it is because people are desperate for answers, and therefore they're falling for this new version of Christianity. I mean, you think about his scripture twisting on virtually every page of his bestsellers, and you can come up with no worse example of turning the scripture into a wax nose than this.
Back in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they hid. In the cool of the day, God came to them and said, "Adam, Eve, where are you?" They said, "God, we were hiding because we were naked." I love the way God answered them. He said, "Adam, who told you that you were naked?" In other words, who told you that something was wrong with you? God immediately knew the enemy had been talking to them. God is saying to you today, who told you that you don't have what it takes to succeed? Who told you the best grades you could make in school were C's rather than A's? Who told you that you're not attractive enough? Who told you that your marriage is not going to last? Who told you something was wrong with you?
It is absolutely incredible. I mean, it's so seductive. Here you see an utter disregard for the biblical text. Context, context, context. He's turning the quintessential voice of judgment into a primer on self-esteem and positive confession. Acts like God is trying to encourage Adam. In reality, this is the thunder of judgment. And this is just one of many examples that could be given. I wrote about this in a journal article. It's Hostinification and What It Pretends. I also wrote a book on it. The journal article tells you why I wrote the book, what I was concerned about. It's very important that people do not fall for this scripture twisting, because there's a dark hue on the other end of the positive self-affirmations, and that is, if you are a paralytic, Joel Osteen will actually mock you. Your problem is words got you into that place, and words should be able to get you out of that place, but instead of standing up and walking away from your malady, you're sitting there feeling sorry for yourself. I kid you not. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Joe, Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Brother Grayson PC. How you doing?
Nice to talk to you.
I just had a quick question about Melchizedek. I grew up, you know, believing it was a pre-incarnate Christ. And I go to a Southern Baptist church, and my Sunday school teacher was saying that, you know, through tradition, that the Jews, people believe that it's actually Shem. And, you know, I put a lot of belief in the tradition, you know, through the pages, Josephus, and, you know, all that, the church history and everything. But I did some research on it, came across that one of the biggest supporters of that thought was the Mormons, the Latter-day Saints. And I just kind of wanted to get your opinion about it.
Sure, yeah. And the Dead Sea Scrolls have really shed a tremendous amount of light on this subject. But I think the text of Scripture is sufficient, which tells us that Melchizedek is without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life. If Melchizedek had been an earthly king, the biblical text would certainly give us ample reference to his genealogy. But Scripture not only designates Melchizedek king of righteousness and king of peace and overtly tells us that he is without father or mother, without genealogy or without beginning of days or end of life, but that like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. So in contrast to men who die, Melchizedek is declared to be the living. So I think that your initial thought is absolutely correct. Melchizedek is a Christophany. It is a precarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. I wrote about this in some detail, supplying all the evidence in my book, Has God Spoken?
Yeah, and see, I brought up the verse you were talking about in Hebrews to him, and he said that that's focusing more on the priestly side of it, not necessarily the earthly side. And then he pointed out that Shem and Noah were both still alive and all that.
Well, but you got to remember that the author of Hebrews has taken pains to underscore the superiority of Jesus to the patriarchs, to angels, to the prophets, and even to the Levitical priesthood. And in doing that, pointing out that Melchizedek, again, is without father, mother, genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God. Again, I think all the evidence taken collectively, and then add to it new light shed on this subject by what was found in the Qumran caves, and you have ample evidence that this is, in fact, a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
You thought only religions have dogmas? Think again. Because wokeism has its dogmas, and these dogmas demand obedience, not merely consent. Obey or be canceled. No dissent allowed. The problem is that woke dogmas are a path straight to civilization hell. Because the dogmas of this social disease are so deadly, we've tackled them head-on in an upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. The fact that even historically sane institutions are daily falling victim to this pandementia demonstrates how deceptively dangerous this mental cancer actually is. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And back to our phone callers. Next up is Billy in Gold Bar, Washington. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Hank. Mr. Hanegraaff, I just want to take a second and thank you for answering your call and being determined and dedicated and devoted to furthering and defending the kingdom of our Lord and Savior with your time given left in this life.
Bless you, Billy. Thank you for saying that. It means the world to me.
Yeah, I've been called also in attending LBU apologetics. I'm taking hermeneutics and New Testament survey. But I have a message at our serving in our local New Testament church. And so I'd like to put the question to you this way. If you were preparing for a message about how flippantly we sin, like it's no big deal because we're not getting punished right away, you know, but it is all getting recorded and we're going to have to answer at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm talking about Christians, you know, saved brothers and sisters, how we sin every day and like it's, you know, not a big deal, but it is a big deal. And so I'm looking for some verses that you would put in that message to try to help the group just realize that it's, you know, it's not innocent. It's not, you know, it's actually causing damage. And it's, you know, it's like the devil looking up at God saying, look at what I'm making your children do. But I just like to know what verses you would use to help them realize that it's actually, you know, it's dangerous ground. Yeah, what would you put in that message for reference?
Well, first of all, kudos. I mean, I think that a lot of people feel if they raise their hand or walk an aisle, there's a big check mark that goes on a computer page in the sky, and therefore, no matter what you do, it doesn't really make any difference. You're saved. But the whole point of salvation is to be a participant in the kingdom of God. And those who are participants in the kingdom of God recognize that though there is no other foundation save Jesus Christ, on that foundation you can build. And you can build either using gold and costly stones or inferior materials, and the day of the Lord will demonstrate what kind of materials you used. If what is built survives, you will receive reward. If it is burned up, you will suffer loss. You will be saved, but only as one, says Paul, escaping through the flames. He gives us a narrative here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, that I think is very powerful and something that I would refer to. The other part of it, though, I think is important, and that is consequences. Consequences follow inexorably like night follows day. So you see great men of God who sinned in the Bible, perhaps the quintessential example is David takes his census, demonstrating that he's leaning upon the arm of flesh rather than the arm of God, a very serious sin for Israel's quintessential king. He takes a wife, Bathsheba, from a man, Uriah. And then to make sure that this is covered up, he has Uriah killed on the battlefront. And yet, David is certainly someone who God restores his spirit to. David is contrite. He confesses his sin. But the sword never leaves his home. So again, consequences follow like night follows day, and therefore we cannot be cavalier about our sin. There's a consequence in this life, and certainly a consequence in the life to come, because we want to build using gold and costly stones, not inferior materials. And of course, Jesus himself said, behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I'll give to everyone according to what he has done. And that is not a singular statement. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. So again, we're saved by God's grace through faith, but we're saved unto good works, and what we do now will count for all eternity.
Mr. Hanegraaff, thank you for your time. And, you know, I do believe that you will have all five crowns. Thank you.
Bless you. If you know the wickedness of your own heart, and I think in the quietness of our own rooms, we all know that we are desperately wicked, and all the more glorious the righteousness of Jesus Christ that covers us. And so I would not want to stand before God dressed in the filthy robes of my own self-righteousness. I am grateful that I'm covered by the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Back to the phone lines. Kevin, Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Kevin.
Taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question. Those chick tracks, Jack Chick, some of the things they're saying there seem like pretty outlandish. I was just wondering what kind of opinion you have on those.
Well, you know, I'm a little biased because we are the brunt of chick tracks, just like many others are. But there's no question that Jack Chick is a person with a chronic tendency to sensationalize the facts. You look at what he does with the Roman Catholic Church. However you feel about Roman Catholicism, he certainly goes to great lengths to add sophistry, sensationalism to the equation. Supposedly, the Jesuit order is secretly plotting to subvert the world. They are the problem behind political, economic, social, religious issues, and the masterminds behind Lincoln's assassination, the Ku Klux Klan, World War I, the Mafia, the international banking institutions, communism, Nazism, the Vietnam War, the New Age movement, cults, and even the Christian Research Institute. So I think he's gone overboard to such an extent that it's hard to take him seriously.
Okay. I guess I get that.
Yep.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. Fred in Madera, California. Hi, Fred.
Hi there. I got a question. I read in the New Testament, I believe it was, Jesus cast the demons into some pigs and they all ran down the cliff or drowned in the water. What happened there exactly?
Well, the unclean go into the unclean. I mean, the demons can only enter the swine at the command of Jesus Christ. And, of course, the fact that the herd is destroyed shows the protection of God on humanity. Otherwise, humanity itself would have perished under demonic influence. And it reinforces that swine herding was not lawful for the Jews and shows the incomparable value of human beings again, whose salvation is worth every sacrifice. But again, this is a non-normative event. So when you hear about this, this is not something that would be normative, where the swine and their instinct would be taken over by the unclean spirits. So it is kind of...
Who did the pigs belong to, though?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if the Bible says. I think you can look it up in, I think it's Matthew chapter 8, and I believe also Luke 8.
Yeah, it would seem that somebody would be at a loss of property if that was the case.
Well, that's true. But again, swine herding was not lawful for the Jews, and therefore it was a violation of the commands of that theocratic context.
That's very interesting. Okay, Hank, enjoy your show, and have yourself a good day.
Hey, thanks, Fred. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. Chris in Arkansas. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Hank.
Hi.
Hey, I had a question from a caller called in, and I tried to call that day, but he didn't ask specifically, but I think he was asking whether you had to worship in church or whether you could worship anywhere.
Well, remember that when you become a believer, you are not a Lone Ranger Christian. You are born again into a family of God, which is to say that baptism symbolizes that you are taking up your cross and you are following Christ as a living stone in the temple of God, not in isolation. Even sacraments like communion underscore the community of the saints. So There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity, and even from a practical standpoint, many logs burning together burn brightly, but when a log falls off to the side, the embers quickly die out. So no, it's absolutely critical that we worship God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word in community, that we experience oneness or fellowship, as Paul delineates in Romans chapter 12, which is a great chapter to read on this subject. I memorized that chapter many years back, and it has been something I've drawn upon not only on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but in sermons and the like. Also, it's important to recognize that within the context of the church, you're equipped to go out and impact the world, communicating not only what you believe and why you believe what you believe, but in whom you have believed. So the church serves as the God-ordained vehicle through which people are equipped. In fact, we as an organization come alongside the work of the church as co-laborers in Christ, so that people, not in isolation again, but in community, are equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, with gentleness and with respect. Thanks for tuning in today. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.